In today's episode, we discuss how to get the most out of your kids' ministry in a pandemic. Let's face it, reaching young people was already hard. Now with social distancing rules and irregular gatherings, it has become even more challenging. Join us as we unpack what's working, what isn't, and give you some ideas on how your church can best reach the next generation this year. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 11. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey guys.
Hey Ian. Yeah, man. Good conversation we're going to be having today. It's kind of born out of some of our own challenges that we're facing.
The name of this.
Yeah, frustrations. Absolutely. So how to get the most out of your kids ministry in a pandemic. That's the theme today. How to get the most out of our kids ministry, next gen ministry. You and I, we both have kids that are in the range from minor elementary school through early high school is where I am. And yours are elementary and middle school, right?
Yep, you got it.
Yep, that's it. And so we get to have a conversation today about some things that it's been, I think, really hard. I think going through this pandemic season, and we should probably mention the time that we're recording this, because if someone's listening to this for a year from now, it might be, God willing, it'll be totally irrelevant, right?
Amen. So
it'll be not helpful at all. But today is September the 17th of 2020. Ian is in Texas. I'm in Honolulu. We'll tell a little bit about our surroundings and our pandemic situation. So to give people some perspective on this, here in Hawaii, we are still under our second iteration of our stay-at-home order / lockdown. So all churches are closed, and we're not going to get into the politics of that. That's just the reality that we're in here. Churches are all closed, and everything is online right now for all churches, including not just churches, but almost all businesses, restaurants are all closed. Everything except for very essential stuff is open here. Yours is a little bit better there, right?
Yeah, a little different in Texas. You know, we definitely, everything's open. Masks are still required, and whether or not it's a restaurant or I know our church is requiring masks and everything. So there's, but our church is open, and our kids ministry is about to reopen, but still has not been open up to this point.
How has your church done, or how have you guys been doing kids ministry there, and how's your family's experience been?
My goodness, I can talk about our family first, because that's top of mind, I think, for you and I both. It's like you said, it's been pretty bad. And I think a lot of people have been going through this. I mean, you know, kids are different, different animals, if we put it that way. And I mean, just at the, depending upon what age your kid is, I have a 9-year-old boy, you know, just going into fourth grade, 12-year-old girl going into seventh grade. The 12-year-old has a little bit better attention span than the 9-year-old boy. You know, and so it's been really a struggle for us. I'll kind of talk about where we were, I think, going back to when the shutdown first happened in March, right? So I think, and we've covered this, just talking about even church online services in general, for a little while, they were dialed in for probably, I'd say, a good maybe month and a half. They were dialed in really well to, like, you know, Zoom kids, you know, children's church over Zoom with their children's pastor or their children's, you know, small group leader, however, you know, depending on what they were doing within a given week or on Sunday. And they were dialed in, and then it got, they, as the saying goes, they got over it. They were over it. And I think that it's good to kind of say, you know, we know that. I, this brings something to mind that I was hearing a parent say this recently, and it, maybe it was online or something. I can't remember where I heard it, but they were saying, well, if kids can play video games all day long or Fortnite all day long, how come they can't do virtual school or other things online? Well, Obviously, we're talking about two different things. So what we found is our kids had no problem playing video games. But when it came to church online, it just got different. And I think because of what they were, because it's a different thing, right? We can't treat all these things as equal. Yeah. Video games, school, and church, all separate things, different. You know, they come across differently to kids. So our kids got over it, so to speak. They just really started. I hate to use this word when it comes to church, but despising the whole experience. Oh, it man. Got extremely boring and just confusing for them and flat. Right. They didn't quite use those words, but that's what was coming off when they communicated it. So for us, it's been challenging. And I'll say this, you know, you can judge me out there as being less spiritual or not a good spiritual leader as a parent, but our kids really haven't been involved in the children's church online stuff for a little while now, because we just know that they've checked out from it.
Right.
And we feel like it's almost more of a hurt than a help. And I hate to say that, because it's important for their spiritual growth, right?
Let me just say, I want to make sure everybody in our audience knows that you go to a great church. So this isn't like a slight on the churches. They're doing everything they possibly can, but let's just acknowledge that this is really hard. We're in totally uncharted waters and we're watching just this thing play out before our eyes, and it's something that's really a challenging thing to do. I think your church is doing their dead level best. They have lots of people on it trying to make it work, and I think most churches are that way, that we really want to make a great experience for not just adults, but for families, for kids. And I know that so many churches invest so much in their on-campus children's ministry. It's just it's challenging to figure this out. And I think, like everybody, we tried to throw a lot of stuff against the wall to see if it stuck when it came to kids' ministry. And I think that's what we want to cover today, is some of the things that are worked, some that haven't, and give some people some insight on that. I'll tell you a little bit about our experience, is that our church has done, again, their dead level best to try and make it engaging atmosphere and do good things for all of my kids, whether it's my youngest in elementary school, my oldest in high school, and they are really putting their heads together trying to make it happen. We have pretty much been checked out a little bit. Like, we do our Sunday morning services with the church, but like most churches, I think we're finding that our attendance in the online services is declining. I think most churches are seeing that. There's a few that have picked up in this time, but the vast majority are seeing their numbers. They kind of peaked after a few weeks and they've been going down ever since. And what we've done is we've piled our family around the TV and all watched together. And most of the time is spent me wrangling my second or my third grader, telling him to, you know, stop talking, pay attention, stop hitting your brother.
Around.
Things. So it's a constant battle. And it would be the same way if we were in service on Sunday mornings, because we have the kind of church where we don't have our kids in service, and you're trying to keep your arm around them firmly so that they're not, you know, messing with their siblings. And there's all kinds of challenges that come with this here. Yeah. But I think we can kind of maybe dig into a little bit of the things that we've seen. Well, maybe churches. Well, go ahead.
No. One thing I wanted to interject with, I should have mentioned this earlier when I was kind of talking about our experience. It is, we talked about being in different states and yours being more, of course, locked down than Texas. Right. Our church has reopened. Our church reopened. We reopened in June, and then Texas saw a spike in cases, so we reclosed. We just reopened in towards the end of July, and things have thankfully been going well so far for us. However, our children's ministry hadn't been open. So where we've been at is kind of like you. Before we reopened, we switched gears to having the kids watch church with us.
Right.
And then again, for my 9-year-old boy, who's only one grade older than yours, that was a little, and then even for our daughter, who's 12, a lot of the stuff was over her head that she was hearing from the senior pastor.
Sure.
And so it was good. They heard some good things there. And of course, you know, we know God used that, but it wasn't complete experience for them. But I say this now, we've been going back physically, but even then the kids just have to sit in service with us. And it's almost kind of the same. yeah. as in the living room at home, in the sense that their attention span hasn't changed in their understanding and comprehension level of things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. It is a moving target, and it kind of changes all the time, and we're getting all these curveballs. But maybe we can share with people some of the things that this will be helpful. I think some of the things that we've seen, maybe not in our own churches, but just what we've been hearing from the churches that we work with, and those that are the things that are challenging churches, maybe the places that that children's ministry isn't working, things that have been tried and didn't stick when we threw them against the wall. So I don't know, what are you hearing? What are some things that aren't working, would you say?
Yeah, it's good to start with the bad news and end with the good news, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, again, appreciate you complimenting my church. I am a part of a what would be called a mega-sized church.
Yep.
Hadn't always been in a mega-sized church where God has us now, but we're very involved there and so on and so forth. But I think the challenge for us, the reason I mentioned that, is when you have a large church with a ton of kids in each grade level, what we have found to be frustrating for our kiddos is that when they're in a giant Zoom call, they get less individual attention.
Sure.
So I think that's the first point as far as what we have, and this is probably a little more relevant for the larger church, maybe not. You know, even for maybe a 200 member church or something like that with a good chunk of kids, it still could be, if you have over maybe 10 or 15 kiddos, it could be a bit overwhelming. So what we found was, especially at the size church we're at, our kids would feel like they just kind of got lost in a sea of squares on the screen, if you will.
Yeah.
And they got really no individual interaction. They, you know, they would maybe, the small group leader would say, hey, you know, did that part of the message speak, anything stick out to you? And sure, they can all voice in, but when there's that many kids. So I think that's the thing, is having a giant Zoom call, the kids get drowned out in that.
Yeah, I mean, you've been on them, I'm sure. I've been on these kinds of calls. I don't like doing Zoom calls where there's, you know, 40 or 50 people on them, and because what you'll start to see is that everybody but the speaker turns off their camera a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so what that means, if someone turns off their camera, is that they're doing something else and not really paying attention to what's going on in most cases. So I think that it really can be challenging when you have that many people on together, especially for kids. And we got to remember, these kids are in Zoom calls with, at least at our school, I know you guys went back, but my kids are in Zoom calls every day. My third grader is on a Zoom call with 25 other kids every single day. And it gets pretty exhausting if there's not like a lot of, if it's such a big group, I guess we could say. So that's one thing. What I've noticed is I've seen a lot of churches trying to make their own in-house video content. I think that's been, or even like when I've seen some of them doing like some of the big church, they'll use maybe lifechurch.tv's their video content for kids ministry and put that out there at a different time. And here's the problem with that is I think that I get the attempt, but it's so hard to get content that is engaging enough, especially if we're making it on our own, that engages a generation that is used to YouTube content that is getting tens of millions of views. It's really hard to compete with that kind of content on there. We can be as dynamic and energetic as you possibly can, but it's just really hard to compete on that level. So in our experience, it just seems that when I put a church-made content, my church doesn't make their own content, but church-made content that I have seen out there in front of my kids, they look at me funny. And they're like, okay, I'll watch it if you're going to make me dad.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I've pastored long enough to know that sometimes parents need to make your kids do things that maybe they don't want to do. If I asked my kids every Sunday, hey, do you want to go to church this Sunday? They might tell me no a lot more than I'd want to hear, right? So I think that, especially when I was preaching, they would say, I don't know, Dad, I got to stay home and play play Fortnite or Minecraft or whatever it's going to be.
There you go. It's one of those two these days, it seems like.
So it's not to say that parents shouldn't ask their kids to do something maybe that they don't want to do. But I think if you're asking them over and over again to engage with content that isn't engaging, that they don't even like, it'll be off-putting. You know, it's just dragging them along, and you know, probably can have the opposite effect of turning them off towards what the church is going to be doing in the future. So I think we need to be careful with some of the video content and stuff that we're putting out there. So anything else you're seeing that that churches are maybe doing that isn't working? Anything else you notice there?
You know, other than what you mentioned, I guess nothing at all. Yeah. I've come across a lot of churches that 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 I think is our third point on this, is that, you know, you got to do something, as challenging as it may be. But if you have nothing, no resource there, what does that say to your parents? And of course, we know that this is a time where a lot of, I think, kids are dealing with things emotionally and mentally, just even more than grownups are. You know, that that we've seen the depression, the suicide rates, even of kids, you know, even on the rise during this time. And I guess when I say all that is that we have a call to obviously continue to minister to kids and teens, you know, even in the midst of this challenging pandemic season. So I think that that's, I've come across a lot of churches, you know, whenever I'm having discussions with them, you know, they're talking to me about kind of what they've been doing, of course, online for sermons and maybe adult small groups and how they're trying to keep their people engaged and all of that. But then whenever I ask, okay, you know, what's going on with the gal? Yeah, kids is totally shut down. We're not doing anything for that right now, unfortunately. And I'm just like, well, you know, we can't leave our kids in the dust. And you got to do something, even if it's not as ideal and as effective as in-person kids ministry or what other churches, big churches, are doing. Still got to do something.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that this is such an important time to be pressing into what we do for kids, because I think kids are, everybody is having a hard time processing a lot of this world that we're living in right now. A lot of people are, I think a lot of people are thinking about eternity and thinking about with when you're dealing with a pandemic that's killing people. I think a lot of our audience, and you know, myself included, don't really know anybody that personally that's passed away, but a lot of us do know people that have passed away from this. And there's that fear of, what if my mom gets it? What if my dad gets it? What if what if I get it? And people start to wrestle with their own mortality. And I think kids are no different on this kind of stuff. And I think there's a lot of depression things that I'm seeing from that I'm hearing about from kids right now, just that they're being lonely. And when you, it may feel like playing Fortnite 11 hours a day and not talking to anybody in real life is good for you, but in reality, it's not. I think that kids need it now more than ever. So yeah, I think that there, it is not an option for churches to ignore it and to do nothing and just to say, hey, tag along with your parents. You know, maybe that's what you're left with if you're a really small church and you have to do that. But I think you probably have to change your own teaching style and making it more engaging for kids, knowing that your audience has gotten considerably younger in this season here right now. So, well, let's not just beat down on what's not working. Let's talk about some things that we've seen from the churches that we talked to and what is working. What are you hearing there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about the giant Zoom calls, and what I've seen, especially at our church, I think going to smaller Zoom calls, going to a smaller Zoom, you know, kids thing, keep it shorter in length, of course, too. We know kids' attention spans, but I mean smaller as far as the amount of kids. Now, the first thing a pastor might be thinking is, well, we only have one kids pastor. They're not going to do, you know, 50 calls a day or something like that. Get it. It could take some work. It might take doing a few and not just one giant one at the normal service time or whenever it is. But I think that what churches will find if they do that, the kids will get more one-on-one time and interaction with their kids pastor or a different kids small group leader, whoever it is you choose on your church staff. They're going to get that, and they'll have a little bit more intimate time with the other kids that maybe they haven't seen in a while from church. Yeah. You know, because if there's only around 10 or so, if that's the number we want to say, you know, if there's only about 10 to maybe 15 tops or so, is I think, you know, what we're seeing.
I go smaller. Like, honestly, I think that if you think about it, so I know from my church that I pastored most recently that on a given Sunday, we probably had about 30 kids or so showing up, you know, that were in fifth grade and below. So about 30 kids or so that were there. And to serve them, we probably had about 7 volunteers every single week that were serving those 30 kids. So I mean, you have most churches, you probably have a similar kind of ratio where you have that many volunteers that serve and that many people, the kids that are there. It's usually maybe 5 or 6 to 1. And all these volunteers, I'm sure that they would love, for, in the most part, to have a place to continue to give and continue to pour into kids. So you probably have the staff and the leaders there that are wanting to do something like this. Now, is kids ministry in person different from Zoom call kids ministry? Yeah, it's going to be different. But I do think if you can spend the time equipping your volunteers to invest in young people and do these Zoom calls, I think that's totally worth it. So I, if it were me, and what I've actually seen to work at our church and with my kids is small groups. So 4, 5, 6 kids on these calls. That way, I think what happens on 10 or 15 kid calls, you'll have a third of the kids that are quiet and don't have the comfort level to stand up and talk or turn their mute button off, or they'll be turning their camera off. I think if there's 4 kids, it really becomes kind of a dialogue. It becomes a conversation. I know for my own daughter, I know it was so life-giving for me to see this, is in the middle of this pandemic, she knew that she was getting disconnected from people that were encouraging her in her faith. So her and her friends, they started their own weekly Zoom call where they're getting together, they're praying together, they're reading the Bible together. It brought in some other kids from within the church, and some leaders got involved with it. It's been really cool to see that kind of come together that way. But man, I think kids that they're hungry for it, just like their parents are in a lot of ways. We just need to give them the tools. And I think smaller is better in this realm here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I guess that was coming from the understanding of being at a mega sized church where there was 50 or so on these calls. So that was probably what we were thinking.
But I think even at a mega sized church, like, so I don't know what the numbers are at your church, but I think if you're a church of 1500 people, you know, maybe you see 400 or 300 kids on a typical Sunday, but you probably already have 40 volunteers that are helping them, or 50 volunteers that are helping them. So I think every church can, you probably have a ratio like what we're talking about, and you can get smaller on these kinds of things. And so I think that'd just be a good way for churches to look there. So let me share another one. I think that a big thing will be focusing on not top-down communication or one-way communication, but really focusing on interactivity in your kids' ministry right now. And this is a unique challenge in this online world, because I think that online, it's much more, usually people do much more of a one-way communication. That's what a video is. It's only talking one way. But you'll notice, like when you watch a YouTube video right now, any YouTuber out there, they're always talking in every single video. They say, hey, you want to tell me more about what you think? Mention it in the comments below is what they'll say. Right. And I could go ahead and say this on this podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, comment and tell us what's working or not working in your kids' ministry. That kind of interactivity, it is really, really intentional, because when you can engage your audience that way, it makes it much more of a two-way street. And I think we need to be really careful and careful that we're not doing only one-way communication, but we're giving kids especially a way to interact as we're doing ministry online, or certainly in person. We know this, but certainly online, we need to be careful to give places for kids to interact. What do you think?
Yeah, and it keeps them engaged. Again, we've talked about they're doing that in gaming, right? They're doing that, and they're used to that, and with their attention span. And it just allows them to, I think if they're just sitting there watching, we were joking about and talking about this earlier, this topic, but just, you know, if you just, you know, give a Bible study on the book of Genesis, and you're just reading something out, and there's no way that they're just sitting there listening, and then they, you know, we know they stop listening at a certain point, and they have no way to engage and interact, then, you know, you're not going to keep them engaged, and they're not going to learn and be a part of it. So
yeah, so I think the interactivity, I think certainly in Zoom calls and in those kinds of conversations, but I think even like during the week, having lots of chances for kids, especially those that are, I think it's easier when they get to smartphone age, right? Well, so a lot of kids, I have 2 kids with smartphones, one without. Do both of yours have phones?
No, just one. Yeah, the 9-year-old boy going into fourth does not need it yet.
Has he asked you for one yet?
Of course he has. just because his older sister has one. Yeah. But no, she's 12. And of course, with her, you know, being in middle school, doing stuff after school, it's a need and all of that. But getting right to what you just said, you reminded me of, you know, talking about the interactive part and getting, and I think creativity kind of goes hand in hand with that, is that I do remember one neat thing that our church did was with her smartphone and with her phone, she was able to go around the neighborhood and take pictures of just, you know, where she saw God in creation, you know, mm-hmm. or different things like that. So they, you know, with smartphones, you can get a little bit more creative and interactive, like you're saying.
Yeah, I love that kind of idea, because then kids can actually submit things, see what other kids are submitting, yeah, have kind of dialogue around that kind of stuff. And I think that really goes a long way. So, yeah, so finding ways for kids to be interactive and having your leaders be interactive with kids, in addition to that first thing we talked about with smaller calls, that's really important. So last thing I would add, I guess the final thing to mention today of what is working, is we are seeing results from churches that are equipping parents to be better disciplers of their kids. Because the fact is that, and we've always felt this way, right? Like it's, I know in all of my time in ministry, we recognize that, well, what we get an hour with kids once a week and their parents are with them the other 167 or whatever hours there are in the week. And so giving them the tools to be great pastors to their own kids, that is vital. And I think it's even more vital now when they don't have that, or if they don't have that 1 hour that we get with them on Sundays, that we need to give parents great resources, be equipping them and being like really direct and actually training them. I mean, I've heard of churches that have actually held trainings, held in like times where parents will get together on a hopefully small Zoom call, and they would sit down and talk about tools and resources and strategies on how they can help their kids. Here's one that we're doing right now that I've seen work at our church, is that a lot of parents have question marks about how to handle this question we were just talking about, is how do I handle digital stuff with my kids? My kids are on phones. How do I protect them? How do I make sure that they're engaging with the Lord? And how do we handle all this kind of stuff? So giving parents resources and training them on how to manage their kids' screen time in this pandemic, how to handle their kids having a phone that has access to all kinds of things we don't want them to have right in their pocket 24/7. You know, how do we handle that kind of stuff there? So we've tried to equip parents to manage that well and to have hard conversations even with their kids about that. But a lot of times churches need to take the initiative, I think, and equip parents, because there's a lot of parents out there, they just don't know what to do with this. And they're looking for answers in this kind of area. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think some practical ways to do that too. I mean, it's just make sure that you're, whether or not it's your website, social media, that you're constantly putting helpful content out there to parents too during this time. I know for several of the churches we work with, they've done a great job of that, where they have many videos on the children's page on the website, you know, and PDF downloads of just a short kind of practical Bible study. Those things are not too hard to get on there. And if you're doing video, get that stuff on your social media channels as well. And so those are some ways you can make it really accessible to parents, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, we're digital guys. And so we're going to encourage you to create content all the time at your church. I think that's one of the big things.
Well, I think everyone's been forced into being digital. So
we are
digital guys, but I think everyone now, as we've seen, is able to get online a little bit more, no matter who they are.
I think what we're using is that digital is the new default. And so the key is using the resources you have to create content. It's probably going to be blog posts and video content, or maybe start a podcast that helps your parents. I don't know what it is, but you need to be really thinking about how you can better equip parents to do the work of the ministry, because the harvest is plenty and the workers are few, and we need to recruit more workers and pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers to train these kids up. Right. So,
and ultimately it always falls on us as parents, right? I mean, even the Bible makes that very clear, you know, we're to teach a child in the way they should go, and so they don't depart from it. So it's on us. So that's a good closing point to put it on the parents. And Lord help us all in this crazy time.
Let me just be an encouragement to you pastors out there, though. you can do this. I think that it's something that I talk to so many pastors and church leaders that are discouraged right now. And you need to know that you can do this, that you, this can be a time that I'm sure the enemy would love to use this for evil, but God wants to use this for good. And I just want to encourage you that you can do this. Holy Spirit, I pray He would come upon you and your church and be able to just equip you to do the work of the ministry that you're called to. So this is going to be a good season, and we believe that this is the church's finest hour right now. So hope that's an encouragement to you. I want to thank you again. For those of you that listen, it's been really a pleasure for us to make this. If you have been blessed by this, if it's good for you, let us know. You can rate, review, and subscribe. Let us know in the comments if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And until next week, we'll catch you then.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week. Ready to get full.